Right, can we all please be upstanding and welcome Pastor Julia as she brings the word of God today.
Thank you, everybody. You may be seated. What an amazing morning in church. Thank you, guys. Your men and women of God, full of the Holy Spirit and power. They've brought a great atmosphere. Anybody could talk now. We could get somebody from Kids Church. We could get Stephen Blacklock here, and he'd be good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here. God, Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming and walking down each aisle and just touching each life, Holy Spirit, this morning. You're so good, so faithful. And God, I just pray you help me say what you want me to say this morning to these amazing people, in Jesus' name. Wow, I've just got so many thoughts. I had a night where thoughts were coming through my head and I was switching the light on and writing it down. I'd done my sermon and I kept switching the light on. I think, okay, God, I'll get up and write that down. I don't know if I'm going to use any of it because it's, I don't know. The presence of God's here and it messes you up. Don is in Houston, Texas at the moment, and he's speaking at a conference of 20,000 people. Run by a Vietnamese pastor, Dr. Khan. And when he got to the airport, Dr. Khan's son picked him up, a 24-year-old, in this big black, I don't know, Don sent me a photo, big black ute. And then, right, as he's walking over, the guy gave him a bullet. And Don's thinking, oh, that's nice. That's just a nice little keepsake, you know. And then he got in the car and the guy reached over and he got this gun out of the glove box and put it on Don's lap. And Don said, what's that? And he says, that's your Glock. And Don says, what's that for? And he says, that's your protection. He says, while you're here, he said, we do have people coming in and shooting people in church. Specifically, they target the preacher. And Don said to him, mate, I have preached in Fiji during the coup with guns pointing at me. I have been in East LA in the gang wars where they've got flick knives. He says, if a guy comes down that aisle with a gun pointing at me, good luck to him, but I'm not shooting him. So now he has an SAS bodyguard that goes with him 24/7 because he won't take a gun, and has this bodyguard standing at the down on the floor while he's preaching. This is what it's like in America. You think that Donald Trump's extreme? There's stuff going over there that is not told to us. You know, we've got to realize that what we hear is what the media wants us to hear. But at any rate, that's just a bit of a story. But last night at the meeting, Don said it was so powerful while he was preaching. He says the power of God, he said, was so incredible in this meeting. He said he could hardly stand up, and they told him all the procedures for altar calls, you know, because every church does it differently, and he's got to submit to the leadership of that church. So he says, okay. So he's preaching, and the people started running. And he says they were running to the altar, and he says when they got to the altar, they just fell down under the power of God. When he did his altar call, took 2 hours, 2 hours for that altar call. And that wasn't just him praying, that was the team praying. So God wants to move. He wants to move in your life. He wants your life changed. And this is why we've called this month Ownership after Kia Kaha, because Kia Kaha is all about it being strong and steady and courageous. And as I was preparing, because I'm going to speak to you about building your life. And as I was reading through the Word of God, I was just, Don rang me this morning to pray for me. And I said, Don, this is so prophetically right. And he says, why? And I says, because every time, every part of the Bible that I looked at on building your life, it says, be strong and courageous. And we have to realize, and as you read through your Bible, you need to read your Bible, church. Honestly, it's the most exciting book. In fact, if you start reading it, you find 2 hours have gone and it's messed your day. But it not only changes your life, it changes your perspective. And as I was going through here and I was reading, everybody had stuff to deal with. And we think today that it's hard for us, but no, everybody has to deal with stuff. It's what builds us and what makes us into the people that we are today. And so I want to carry on this sermon from last month, because actually it's joined. There's a thread. And that's what I love about God, that nothing is by mistake, that he wants to say something, and he is saying something. And I believe he said something to you this morning in that worship, that the Spirit of God is here. He's in your life. You mightn't feel it, but he's with you. You might turn your back on him every day, but he's with you. And that's how it is. In Ezra 10:4, as Zan read, it says, arise, for this matter is your responsibility. We also will be with you. Be of good courage and do it. That word responsibility there actually says that we need to take some action ourselves, doesn't it? In 1 Chronicles 28:10, it says, consider now, for the Lord has chosen you. Not the person beside you. It says he has chosen you to build a house for a sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Now, when I think of a sanctuary, I actually think of this place here, this beautiful place. Sometimes you see me, like the other week, the team was growling at me because somebody had eaten cake and there was icing rubbed into the floor. And so I was cleaning it. Now, I'm cleaning it, taking responsibility, because this is my house. This is the sanctuary where the presence of God comes in a tangible way. So I will keep it looking the best that I can. And if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. And that's all about it. But a sanctuary too is this body that God has created. It says it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is a sanctuary of God's Spirit within you. And you might not like how it looks, and you might not like the way it thinks. But you know, we can change those two things by taking responsibility. In 1 Chronicles 22, if you want to turn there, 12, the end of 12 and 13 says, keep the law of the Lord your God. Now, so many people say to me, oh, well, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. Yes, that's right. But there's also, it says, in the New Testament, love your God and love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? Well, actually, if you go back to the Ten Commandments, it tells you about how you should love your God. And I challenge you this week to go and read them and see if you are keeping them. Because that's loving your God, loving your neighbor, and loving yourself. You see, if you will steal off your neighbor, that's not loving your neighbor. And Ten Commandments, don't steal. Don't covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's husband. Hello? That's not loving them. See, the two testaments are interlocked, like kia kaha and ownership. Everything God does is knitted together. And he's given us the word of God. Now I'm going to deviate from my sermon. You see, because I love this man, when Nehemiah went back to build Jerusalem, and he was to build the walls and build the city, but the first thing he made sure that the temple was established, the house of God, for God's presence to come, was established first. Because he knew that with relationship with God is the rock. So he built the important thing first. He built relationship with God, going and worshiping God. Is it important for you to come here each Sunday and worship God? Yes, it is. Putting God first, giving God his day. And then he established the values, the law within the city. And everybody had to live according to the law of Moses and what God had set down, because it was for their good. Don't steal from your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor's things. Don't covet your neighbor's spouse. Just common sense. Then you can live in harmony. And it said all the foreigners that had been married into Israel, if they would not comply with the laws of God, even though they had children, Nehemiah says, put them out of the city. You know, that's like things in our lives. We sometimes carry foreigners within our lives. Things that are not of God, they're not really hurting, we think, or they won't affect, but eventually those foreigners will take over. Those sins and those habits. We think it's only a little thing, but if we keep doing it, it becomes a habit, and the habit grows. So Nehemiah says, put it out, cast it out of the city. And it's the same in our lives. Put things out of our lives. And that's why we do Cleansing Stream. Amazing, amazing course to go through and clean out. And you know, you could have been a Christian for a number of years, and you can take on stuff. It's called living in this world, and you're working in this world, and you can pick up habits and things of the world that become very comfortable. But they're not actually godly, and we need to put them out of our lives. I know sometimes I'll do something, and Don will say to me, Julia, don't do that. Stop it. And he'll really tell me off. So usually has something to do with my mouth. See, if it's not good and it's not building up, and don't say it. And your opinion's just your opinion. Sometimes we need to shut up about our opinions and just let things go, because it's our opinion about something. Other people have other opinions. If it doesn't line up with the word of God and stand on this, sometimes it just pays to be quiet. But once Nehemiah had established those things in the city, then they started to build the wall together. See, when you start living your life right, in the right manner, it's so much easier to work together, isn't it? So it says here, keep the law of the Lord, your God, then you will prosper If you take care to fulfill the statutes, the laws, the values, and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel, be strong. Oh my goodness, Sue. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. God is saying something here, church. You know, sometimes, you know, when Don does tell me off like that, and I get a bit annoyed with him, like, who are you, you know, sort yourself out. And you know, that's the thing. You sort yourself out. Let them sort themselves out. You see, you can't change somebody else. And sometimes we've got to live with those problems in that person, and we might say, I don't like that. But they're the only ones that can sort themselves out. If you're looking for a wife or a husband, you can't change the person you're dating, Emma. You can't change him. But you can change yourself to make yourself look the most beautiful, loving, sweet thing, and let God deal with him. And sometimes we need to look in the mirror and take a good look at ourselves. Am I mean? Am I moody? Do the things that come out of my mouth, are they uplifting? Are they godly? And I know we all get it wrong sometimes, but sometimes we need to look in the mirror. It's like when you put a bit of weight on over winter and you think, okay, I need to do something about this. Too much soup and stew and all that nice comfort food. But we need to build ourselves because we're chosen. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then he proceeds to go on, he says, greater things will you do because I go to the Father. See, you're that light shining now. Look in the mirror, how good is the light? Sometimes we don't like what we see, and I deal with this quite a bit myself. But we have that choice at that moment. What's the most important thing? See, if you don't change yourself, maybe you're having problems at work with people. And they're just really annoying you. There's that one person. You know, the best thing you can do is change yourself. So when they are mean, you can come back with grace instead of the sharp cutting words. See, that was my tendency. I was really good at sarcasm, and I could cut somebody down till they were walking on their stumps. But that's not a godly thing. And I might have been right, and they might have been horrible. But that's not how God wants us to be. You see, we don't walk in their shoes. We don't see why they are behaving like that. So let's change our behavior and love them, and maybe they'll want to change their behavior then. See, we're the only ones that can change ourselves. We're always looking for the quick fix. You know, come up on the altar. Yeah, it's good to respond on the altar. I love it. I'd be up here every week because I know I need to change. But when I walk out that door, I have to make some choices. Am I speaking encouragement to my husband? He's really annoying me. But am I speaking encouragement to him, making him feel like he is the king, that he can do whatever, that he's courageous, he's amazing? And I think this is one of the biggest things for wives, letting your husband know that you have his back. I've seen so many marriages in trouble because the wife has not had the husband's back. She's gone with family members or something like that and hasn't stood beside her husband. And I encourage you, two together, the enemy cannot put you down. And we're in a battle, I'll tell you that. When Moses went to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, God said to him, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. You know, this is one of the biggest killers of doing anything in your life, is fearing that you won't succeed. You know, sometimes we need to fail. We learn things from failure. And if we are wise, we won't do it again. But it says here, do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. See, if you do it right and speak in truth and go together, God goes before you. See, God loves unity. And that's in the church, in your marriage, in your leadership. Even when Moses was passing the baton to Joshua when they were going to possess the land, he says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Actually, this is God speaking. You know, when you do it right and you go in unity, there's possession and there's inheritance. And you know, we want that for this church, don't we? We want an inheritance here for our children and for our children's children. You know, going back to Nehemiah putting the people out. You know, somebody who's divisive against you, you have grace. And then they might do it again. And then they might do it again. And actually, the word of God says, after the third time, separate yourself from them. Somebody who's divisive. See, because there's no blessing and there's no inheritance when you have those people walking beside you. God has chosen us. He wants us to pursue what he has put in your heart. You need to be strong and courageous because he is with you. He wants us to push through the challenges you'll meet with courage and strength, and there will always be obstacles. So maybe you've just come through an obstacle. Can I encourage you? There'll be another one. And I always say there's a different devil for a different level. And the way that you take that thing, you'll either walk in victory or you'll slip back. Turn your negative into a diamond. That sounds beautiful. Maybe when you're going through something, think if you're a girl, think, I'm going through this and I'm having that diamond. It's a bit of a challenge and it's good, isn't it? Because you've made it this far and you can't lose. If you made it this far, you're not going to lose. Excuse me. Build yourself. Because you are the temple of God, you are a child of God, and you are building a testimony. You know, I loved the movie of the Apostle Paul last week. When he's in prison and he's beaten and broken and his body's all bent over because he's been beaten so much. And when Luke goes to him and he's telling him what's happening in Rome, Paul's saying, love them, love them. And I love that he says, I am as a drink offering poured out. You know, we need to pour out what God has put in our lives into other people. And keep pouring, because there's something coming in the top for something to come out the bottom. That sounds a bit gross, doesn't it? But you know, if you drink lots of water, you will go to the bathroom a lot. We need to live a life of value because there's an inheritance for this life. You know, it's beautiful getting saved and you're a Christian now and you think, oh, wow, this is so good. I come to church every Sunday and it's so good. I sit on the chair and I walk out. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. Wow, isn't whoop-de-doo, isn't that great? But that's not actually what God wants. He wants you to be a light shining on this earth. You know, Jesus said on the cross in John 19:30, he said, it is finished. He'd done it. He'd poured himself out. He'd given everything he could. Do you want to die with all the stuff inside? You know, you talk to old people in old people's homes and, you know, ask them, you know, they're near it going into eternity, what would you have done differently? And most of them say they wish they'd taken more risk. They wish they'd been more courageous and done things like that. And, you know, God wants us to live a life that is exciting. You know, I've been watching Ryan Boyd in Sumatra surfing. And I thought, he's living his dream. You know, like, how awesome. We need to finish what God has called us to do. Sorry about that, church. I just lost my place because I've left a lot out. But Jesus has encouraged us to live a life that is incredible. And maybe we'll turn to John 17. What will we turn to? 17:20 maybe. I do not pray for these alone, but I also for those, who will believe in me through their word. You know, Jesus is actually praying for us, sitting at the right hand of his Father, believing that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. I've coloured this in with blue and I can hardly read it. Father, and I in you. And they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Oh my goodness. We look at Jesus and so incredibly. But actually, he's saying here, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be as one, just as we are one. Wow. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, so there is eternity, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. You know, like, we're looking at this here, and we are the sons and daughters of God. And it's talking about unity, that God is in Christ, and Christ is in us. We're all one. That's so good. And what the Father has given to Jesus, he's given to us. And he desires, Jesus desires here, that we all may be one. And that God has loved us before the foundation of the world. Oh my goodness. He knew you. He had a plan for you, and we're doubting ourselves. How sad is that? How does God look in you today? How does Christ look in you? Do you look loving and merciful, full of grace and kindness? Do you know who you belong to? See, that's the first thing. You need to know this awesome God. What does he look like? What do we stand for? See, this is why we need the Word of God. We need to know who and what we are. We need to build our house strong. We need to build God's house strong. We need to own our lives. And this is what I was looking for, 17:24. Oh no, Titus 3, I'm here. I love this. If you want to read it with me, because I just... Paul wrote this from a prison where he knew he was going to die. And he was still encouraging, he was still loving those people that were persecuting him, beating him, and going to kill him. Remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Now it's telling, he was telling the people to obey the laws of the land. To speak evil of no one. To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. This is a man dying, beaten by these people. For we ourselves were also once foolish. We have to remember, isn't it how we look at and judge people sometimes? But we need to remember that we were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Saviour toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So when we were looking ugly, men, when you look at those things, lusts and evil pleasures and nasty, it says, according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly. You know, poured out. This is overflow, church. You don't live in lack. So you've got to read the word, look at each word, like it's, you need to take it in. It's like life. Poured it out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs. Here's the inheritance, by living the life and becoming those people, changing ourselves according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. We've also read in the word that we should not grow tired of doing good works. Don't we get tired sometimes of doing things? Well, it says, be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So it's saying to us here, if we're kind and generous and do good works, it helps build us up. It helps us build in our relationship. Not that works save us, because it says here, it's through Christ's mercy that he loved us. You know, God wants us to pray for the sick, to help the poor, lead people to truth, build the church. Jesus says, greater things will you do because I go to the Father. He is inside us, empowering and encouraging us. How wonderful is that? God is good. Amen? But you, it says, need to take responsibility to build yourself. See, I can stand here and I can preach these life-giving words, but if you don't take them home and start doing them yourselves, you're going to stay with the person you're battling with today, that maybe you are struggling with. Other people aren't struggling, but you're struggling with yourself. You need to change yourself. Like when you look in the mirror and you think, okay, I need to do some push-ups here or go for a run. We have to build. Can I have the worship team, please? We've got to build the man inside as well. Get rid of some of the fat and flab out of our spirit. Put in some good lean meat, which comes from here. Learn to love this book. And if you struggle with reading, it's called discipline. Just start reading a chapter a day, a verse a day. Start with the New Testament. But God is faithful to his word. You can build the person inside of you. Maybe you need to register for Cleansing Stream next time. There's a marriage course on at the moment. Maybe you've been married for 20 years and your marriage is good. Maybe you need to go and do a marriage course and just learn some things to do things in a different way, spice that marriage up. Yeah. Maybe if you're not married yet, Zahn, you need to go to the marriage. No. You need to do pre-marriage. Sam Blood, where are you? You need to do pre-marriage. Where are you? I know you're here. Yes. Pre-marriage, Sam. Because I assure you, you will be doing some things differently to the way Amy thinks. And you need to come together on that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is life. God, it just builds us up. God, when we read it, it gives us so much excitement. God, that we can change things inside us, build the walls, fill in the little holes so the foxes can't get in. And God, we can stand strong and be a light on a hill for you, that those that are struggling can come to us not because of our religiousness, but because of our love that shines out of us. Your light and your love. God, I just pray for these people today. God, that you would just move on their lives, that they would be encouraged, that they are chosen. Their life has a purpose. There's hope. And there's a great inheritance. And God, as we get everything in line, we will prosper and we will do well. We thank you, Father. Thank you. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Just rest on people's lives. Encourage them. As they just sit here for 1 second, Holy Spirit, just come. Shine a light on that one thing that can be changed. That you can shine. In Jesus' name. I pray for those people in these people's lives that are difficult. God, that they will shine your love and your mercy this week. That they will give a word of encouragement to those people that they find the most annoying. And God says, see how it will change. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing one song. If you need prayer, if you need to just reestablish that relationship with Jesus, please come forward and I'd love to pray for you. But go from here. Be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged. You're not bad. Please don't take it that. You are chosen. God looks at you and he adores you. But to receive an inheritance, to live a prosperous life, we need to deal with some of these things in our lives. And don't think you get to a stage and they're all gone. We're dealing with stuff till the day we die, okay? Because there's different things that happen in our lives. But God wants us to build ourselves inside that the enemy cannot come in and strip away and pull away what God is wanting to do inside of you. He loves you that much.